Alternative text for I'm a Luddite and so can you. I recently enjoyed the webcomic I'm a Luddite and so can you by Tom Humberstone. It's a fantastic history and summary of the Luddites and how in the modern world you should also be a Luddite. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any alternative text on any of the images, so is inaccessible. To make this accessible to more people and with Tom Humberstone's blessing, I've written out the alternative text here. I've written it as one list item per panel and will be speaking it as panel 1, panel 2. Please see the original comic for the images. Alternative text. Panel 1. Two people using sledgehammers to break a laptop, with keyboard keys flying everywhere. One is wearing an apron, the other a waistcoat. Panel 2. Background of futuristic city. The future is here already. AI art has arrived. Simply write a prompt. Panel 3. Selfie above upload file button. Or allow a company unrestricted access to your likeness. Panel 4. The same selfie but transformed by AI, has lots of fingers, face with horrible teeth and many eyes, a ridiculous number of fingers and buttons on a shirt, and a patterned background. And ta-da! Some absolutely serviceable hotel lobby art. But calling this AI art uncritically buys into the AI hype machine. Panel 5. A digital hand stealing a piece of art from the wall in front of two alarmed people. Algorithmically generated art theft might be more accurate. Panel 6. Nonsensical pen scribble. Machine learning software is taught by feeding it existing art without consent, credit, or compensation. To the extent that mangled signature remnants remain visible on AI art. Panel 7. Protest of people with signs with AI crossed out. Artists have begun to push back. A man is saying, "Everybody who creates for a living should be in code red." Matthew Buckerick, co-counsel in a class action lawsuit, brought against AI art by artists. Panel 8, captioned, "A common refrain from defenders of AI art has been to label these naysayers with four speech bubbles. Luddite, Luddites, Luddite, Luddism." Panel 9, four people having a meal around a table. A term synonymous with technophobia, anti-progress and reactionism. It's even used to describe being hapless with new tech. One of the people says, "Oh, I can't use TikTok, I'm such a Luddite." There's a further caption, "In truth, the Luddites were skilled with machines. They were simply fighting for better works rights." Panel 10. In 1799, the British government passed legislation that prohibited trade unions and collective bargaining. An old-timey looking aristocrat signing with a quill with mill workers in the background looking at a mechanized loom. Mill owners introduced more machines in their factories, reducing wages. Panel 11. Man swinging a sledgehammer. And so, in 1811, after years of frustrating negotiations, a spate of coordinated attacks on mill frameworks erupted across the United Kingdom, led by King Ned Ludd. Panel 12. Warrior with a stick, protests and burning buildings in the background. Ludd was an elusive figure, spotted with a pike in his hand and a ghostly pale face, which is surprising because Ned Ludd didn't exist. Panel 13. He was a fiction, a symbolic figure whose existence made it hard for the authorities to target leadership and encourage decentralized campaigning. Two grinning men, cheers a drink. Panel 14. The Luddites' methods included letter-writing campaigns petitioning for better wages and the end of child labor. An older man with white hair sits between two huge stacks of letters. Panel 15. Their concerns earn them solidarity from local communities. A well-dressed man in front of a large crowd of people says, "You may call the people a mob, but do not forget that a mob too often speaks the sentiments of the people." It's captioned, "Lord Byron in his first speech to Parliament. Mill owners were terrified. Wages rose. Conditions improved." Panel 16. Soldiers with muskets. Papers are strewn everywhere. A gallows ominously slightly off frame. But then 14,000 soldiers were sent to protect the mills and quash riots. New legislation made frame breaking a capital offence. Eventually, key Luddite organisers were identified, arrested and executed. Panel 17. Yet the movement lived on. Outbreaks of machine breaking continued for years in the UK and beyond. Man saying, "This is due, which the tree shall renew of liberty, planted by Ludd," captioned, Lord Byron, Song for the Luddites. Panel 18. Woman swinging sledgehammers and breaking something. In 1837, a spinning jenny in Calambre, France, was destroyed by workers. The woman workers made themselves conspicuous by their fury and violence. From local newspaper, Lord. Panel 19. In the 1870s, English textile designer, author, and socialist William Morris began taking interest in the production process of his designs. He was disgusted by the poor living conditions of workers and the pollution caused by the textile industry. A man in a suit says, "Why does a reasonable man use a machine? Surely to save his labour." Under capitalism, machines were primarily used to increase production, thereby increasing the workers' drudgery. Panel 20. People have been making similar arguments about AI art. Tweet from catbastardquinn at quinncat13. "We could automate menial jobs so people have time to make art and music, but apparently we'd rather automate art and music so people have time for menial jobs." Panel 21. Likewise, Morris was interested in what he called worthy work. He wanted people to take pleasure in their work rather than mere toiling to live, that we may live to toil. Woman frowning in front of a laptop and a man working in an Amazon warehouse. Panel 22. He understood that machines were only as progressive as the people who used them. Man in a suit in front of loads of notification badges saying, "An unfree man is a slave, the machinery. The new machine must be invented, and when invented he must, I will not say it, but be used by it, whether he likes it or not." Panel 23. Workers working on a car engine. Man in a suit looking at the pocket watch in front. In America, mechanical engineer Frederick W. Taylor began using what he called the scientific management in his factories. Taylor timed each worker's every movement, breaking down their work into a set of discrete tasks, then demanded workers speed them up. Panel 24. Taylorism, as it became known, was less science than a political ideology concerned with remolding workers into pliant subjects. Workers on production line looking frustrated, Taylor in front says, "A complete mental revolution on the part of the working man, toward their work, toward their fellow men, and toward their employers." Panel 25. But the spirit of Luddism lived on. Seemingly out of nowhere, there was a rash of mechanical breakdowns at Taylor's factories. Two workers shrug in front of smoke. Taylor, looking angry, says, "These men were deliberately breaking their machines." Panel 26. Despite setbacks and intervention from Congress, Taylorism spread. Pictured is a book titled Sabotage, Its History, Philosophy, and Function by Walker C. Smith, with a cover of a black cat opening a bag of money. It's captioned, "The industrial workers of the world responded by publishing two tracts on the topic of sabotage in 1913. The aim is to his, the employer, in his vital spot, his heart and soul, in other words, his pocketbook." Panel 27. Hands on a conveyor of plates, written on each, "Automation," as it was later dubbed by Delmar Harder, vice president of Ford Motor Company in 1947, continued unabated. Panel 28. The legacy of the Luddites lived on in the latter half of the 20th century. Confined to the lowest paying jobs, black workers were the first to be targeted by the mid-century push for automation. Two black women work on riveting a piece of metal. A black man in the foreground says, "Not only is the economic situation of the masses of blacks grim, but the prospects are that it will not improve. Rather, it will deteriorate. This is in due partly to the unregulated impact of automation." Captioned, Robert L. Allen, Black Awakening in Capitalist America, 1969. Panel 29. The Black Panthers were also quick to recognize technology and automation were not politically neutral. A black man at a microphone says, "If the ruling circle remains in power, it seems to me that capitalists will continue to develop their technological machinery because they are not interested in the people. Every worker is in jeopardy because of the ruling circle." Captioned, Huey Newton, co-founder of the Black Panther Party. Panel 30. The Black Panthers Party 10-point program was updated in 1972. People's community control of modern technology was added to the demands for land, break, housing, education, clothing, justice, peace. A group of black people and workers stand in the background. Panel 31. In 2019, McKinsey Global Institute found that African Americans are overrepresented in occupations likely to be most affected by automation. A chart titled Overrepresentation of African Americans in Three Occupation Categories with the Highest Expected Displacement Percentage shows office support, e.g. secretaries, 36%, food services, e.g. fast food cooks, 35%, production work, e.g. machinists, 34%, captioned, and the 2030 outlook doesn't look much better. Panel 32. The introduction of the computer in the 1970s only exacerbated growing tensions. Punch cards used in universities, similar to cards used for drafting recruits for Vietnam, were seen as a symbol of bureaucracy and alienation. Students burned, vandalized, and otherwise destroyed punch cards for course registration. Pictured is a woman using a machine, a protest of students, someone holding a punch card labeled strike, and a badge saying, I am a human being, do not fold, spindle, or mutilate. Panel 33. Someone saying, many people simply stopped drawing distinctions between one card-enabled system and another. Whether the cards registered draftees or pupils, they helped the system. Captioned, Lisa Gitelman, author of Always Ready New, Media, History, and the Data of Culture, 2008. Panel 34. Vietnam had become the first computational war, bringing a shift towards strategies rooted in quantitative data collection and automated analysis. Pictured are some men working in computer terminals and banks of controls with large screens. Panel 35. Since arrays and unmanned drones became a big part of the war, an ongoing experiment with the intention of the eventual replacement of human pilots. American soldiers were sabotaging equipment, staging protests, and refusing to fight. Automation of war, as with the automation of industry, was a political strategy designed to, once again, reassert control over rebellious workers, pictured alongside a Tomcat drone. Panel 36. Now, as more of our daily lives are automated, people are finding that it doesn't always make our lives easier. A man looks confused at a self-service supermarket till as it has a big red X and says, unexpected item in the bagging area. Panel 37. In 2016, a study revealed that physicians spend 2 hours of computer work for every hour spent speaking with a patient face-to-face. Two medical workers in the background are frustrated at a computer. In the foreground, a man says, I've come to feel that a system that promised to increase my mastery over my work has, instead, increased my work's mastery over me. Captioned, Atul Gawande, surgeon and public health researcher. Panel 38. In the rush to claim success with new AI software, this invisible human work becomes even more insidious. Researcher Jason Sadowski calls it Potemkin AI. Three people use computers with red screens. A man in the foreground says, there is a long list of services that purport to be powered by sophisticated software, but actually rely on humans acting like robots. Panel 39. Writer and filmmaker Astra Taylor calls these modern-day mechanical Turks an example of photomation. A woman says, photomation reinforces the idea that work has no value if it is unpaid and acclimates us to the idea that one day we won't be needed. Panel 40. As a 2019 report by the think tank Data and Society concludes, automated and AI technologies tend to mask the human labor that allows them to be fully integrated into a social context while profoundly changing the conditions and quality of labor that is at stake. Pictured alongside a woman taking off a robot-like mask. Panel 41. Opposition to 21st century tech can be found in unlikely places. Silicon Valley executives are restricting their own children's screen time and sending them to tech-free schools. Pictured is a quaint small Waldorf school with the greenery outside it and a man saying, You can't put your face in a device and expect to develop a long-term attention span. Captioned, Taewoo Kim, Chief AI Engineer at Machine Learning Startup One Smart Lab. Panel 42. In San Francisco, security robots sent to harass the homeless have been repeatedly assaulted, with one being covered in barbecue sauce and wrapped in tarp. A round, pillar-like security robot is covered in a dark liquid. Panel 43. In Arizona, people are slashing the tires of driverless cars after a driverless Uber struck and killed a woman in Tempe. A driverless car has a smashed window. People are lashing out justifiably. There's a growing sense that the giant corporations owning driverless technologies do not have our best interests at heart. By Douglas Rushkoff, author of Team Human, 2019. Panel 44. Pie chart showing 85%. A Pew Research poll found that 85% of Americans favored the restriction of automation to only the most dangerous forms of work. Panel 45. We're all living through an era in which we have become the product. People in the background are on phones and have dollar signs above their heads. A woman in the foreground says, and the age of surveillance capitalism is a titanic struggle between capital and each one of us. It is a direct intervention into free will, an assault to human autonomy, to tune and herd and shape and push us in the direction that creates the highest probability of their business success. There's no way to dress this up as anything but behavioral modification. Captioned, Shoshana Zuboff, author of The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, 2018. Panel 46. Many are also drawing attention to the biases of software made by an almost entirely male, predominantly white workforce. A black man's face is being scanned and there's a big red error sign next to him. I'm worried about groupthink, insularity, and arrogance in the AI community. If many are actively excluded from its creation, this technology will benefit a few while harming a great many. Timnit Gebru, Black in AI co-founder. Panel 47. VPNs, the dark web, and plugins like Request Policy are arguably Luddite responses to new technology. A man is pictured saying in front of a set of red security symbols, a retrograde attempt to rewind web history, a Luddite machine that, as they say, breaks the essential mechanisms of websites. Captioned, computer science students have already developed Glaze, a tool to prevent AI models from mimicking artist styles. Maxigas, resistance to the current, the dialectics of hacking, 2022. Panel 48, man saying, Luddism contains a critical perspective on technology that plays particular attention to technology's relationship to the labor process and working conditions. In other words, it views technology not as neutral, but as a site of struggle. Luddism rejects production for production's sake. It is critical of efficiency as an end goal. Captioned, Gavin Mueller, Breaking Things as Work, 2021. Panel 49. Degrowth, slow living, quiet quitting, and the I do not dream of labor movements could all be described as forms of modern neo-Luddism. Someone tears apart a sheet showing an upward trending graph. Lashed to the growth imperative, technology is used not to do the same amount of stuff in less time, but rather to do more stuff in the same amount of time. Jason Hickel, author of Less is More, How Degrowth Will Save the World, 2020. Panel 50. A man rests a sledgehammer on one shoulder, looking away with trees and rolling hills in the background. Questioning and resisting the worst excesses of technology isn't antithetical to progress. In your concept, progress doesn't put people at the center of it. Is it even progress? Maybe those of us who are apprehensive about AI art are Luddites. Maybe we should wear that badge with pride. Welcome to the future, sabotage it. Panel 51 from the Future issue.